Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Christy Campbell, director of the Cole County Health Department. Hello, Christy.
Hello, Gary.
Christy is working remotely at as am I. We're having this conversation via the phone, and we appreciate her coming forward to answer some questions for us about the Cole County's approach to the pandemic that we're under. So Christy and her health department staff have been responsible for the county's response to this novel coronavirus pandemic. This week, the county announced that the current Cole County stay-at-home order is going to be allowed to expire at noon Saturday. So before we talk in more detail about that decision, let's bring listeners up to speed on how the county has responded from the beginning to this COVID-19. So Christy, how did all of this get started?
Sure. So as we became aware that COVID-19 was moving towards Central Missouri, and we started meeting with other county and city departments about how responses should be made, we started determining there was a lot of questions, and it was worthwhile for us to bring all the partners together, and we stood up, as they call it, the City County Emergency Operations Center. That way we could have regular meetings and we could talk about the issues that each department would face, like what personal protective equipment the EMS staff should wear when they responded to calls where there was concern of COVID-19, what the law enforcement officers needed to be aware of, what the health department was going to do in response to a case. So that was very helpful. All the partners have been very collaborative in that. And as we started noticing what other communities were doing, we started taking some actions to limit the exposure for people to limit interaction. So our first orders that really limited things that people could do in the community were on March 19th. And in those orders, we limited public gatherings to less than 10 people. And we also ordered that restaurants, bars, taverns, clubs, movie theaters needed to close except for restaurants were able to do carry out or curbside or delivery. We did get our first case on March 17th, and we started monitoring, you know, each case. Our health department staff do a contact investigation and contact tracing for each case. So they interview the positive case and they talk to them about who they've been around since they were symptomatic, even 48 hours before those symptoms started. And then they would contact those people and say, you know, your name was given to me by someone who tested positive for COVID-19. I need you to be aware. I need you to self-quarantine. I need you to watch for signs and symptoms. On March 27th, we did enact a stay-at-home order for Cole County. At that time, there was not a statewide stay-at-home order, and there was really three factors that played into our decision. Number one was the number of pending tests that we had in the county. At that time, the testing was taking longer to get results. So sometimes it would be 7 to 8 days before people knew if they were positive or not. And at that time, we had about 200 tests that were pending that we were not sure about the results, and that was very concerning. We also had people that had traveled for spring break because that was kind of the spring break time for the schools. And even though travel was advised against at that time, people still traveled. So when they returned, we needed them to stay home for 2 weeks because travel is a high-risk activity. And then we also had some evidence at that point that we had a few cases that were community spread. We could not trace those cases back to contact with a positive case or travel, and that was very concerning to us. So we felt like at that time, at the end of March, it was time to issue a stay-at-home order for Cole County. On April 9th, we did extend our stay-at-home order, and we changed some provisions in there. We looked at the risk for some activities, and we allowed non-essential businesses to do some curbside or pickup services if they were non-contact. We asked them to wear a mask and have less than 4 employees in their business, instead of just, you know, applying a one-size-fits-all ruler to all businesses or all activities. We really wanted to look at risk of transmission of the disease and allow activities to function as long as there was no risk for transmission. So that's sort of been the progression of the orders up to now. As of today, we do have 45 cases and 37 have recovered. So we have 7 active cases right now, and we did unfortunately have 1 death.
Okay. As this was going on, then when did the state come in with its stay-at-home order?
The governor issued the statewide stay-at-home order on April the 3rd.
Okay. And it runs through May 3rd.
Correct. And that is one of the things that one of the reasons that factored into us deciding not to extend our stay-at-home order, because the statewide one is still in effect. And our order was only slightly more restrictive than the governor's. So we thought that was a good first step in a recovery plan, is to just let ours expire and fall under the governor's stay-at-home order.
Okay. So let's talk about that just a little bit, because there seems to be some confusion out there about a state order versus a county order. So let's talk about it first from the aspect, the county's order can be more strict than the state's, but it can't be less strict, correct?
You're correct. The statewide order applies to everyone, and then counties do have the ability to make orders that are more restrictive, but not less.
So was Cole County's, the one that is existing as we're speaking now, is it stricter than the state's? And if so, how?
It is slightly more restrictive. With the state's order, those non-essential businesses that we were requiring to do that non-human contact delivery or curbside pickup, they can be open, but they are only allowed to have 10 people within the facility, including employees, and they must maintain the social distance. And that has been, like for the hair salons, a big question, because they're a non-essential business, but there is no way that they can do their work and still maintain that 6-foot of distance between them and their patrons.
Right.
I specifically asked the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services for clarification for them, and they said they cannot be open because they cannot maintain that physical distancing.
Okay, so theoretically then they will not be able to open up until social or that physical distancing is removed.
Correct.
Okay, so what effect will the expiration of the county stay-at-home order have on traveling from county to county or from Missouri to Arkansas or Illinois or whatever?
It shouldn't have any effect on that, because the governor's stay-at-home order is still in place. So people should still not travel unless it is absolutely essential. And we still have our travel advisory in effect that tells people that if they do travel outside of Cole County to counties that are not contiguous to us, or if they travel outside the state, we are requesting and we're advising them to stay home for 2 weeks after that travel because of potential exposure. But the governor's order is still in effect, and it still, you know, directs all Missourians to avoid leaving their residences unless necessary.
Okay. So you had mentioned one difference between the state's order and the county's order, which will cease to exist Saturday at noon, is that businesses won't have to just provide curbside service. A citizen can go into a bookstore, for instance, and as long as there are fewer than 10 people, employees and customers, in that building, they can do business as normal. correct?
And as long as they maintain that physical distance.
And the physical distance. Are there any other things that would have a direct effect on Cole County citizens or non-essential businesses?
The other difference is very slight. In the governor's order, it says that citizens should avoid going to restaurants, they should to dine in, that they should do takeout or curbside delivery. So it doesn't say shall not eat in a restaurant, it says shall avoid. So technically, restaurants may provide dine-in services, but they're only allowed to have 10 people or less within the restaurant for dining services. They shall maintain that 6 feet of distance between all individuals that are not family members, and that 10-person limitation includes both employees and customers together. So if you had a restaurant and you had two people working there, you could have two tables of a family of four as long as they were 6 feet apart from each other.
That makes sense. I was going to ask, you know, I'm a bit of a coffee drinker there, Kristen.
Right.
And so I was trying to think of examples here. So after this order expires, if I walked up to Coffee Zone or High Street Bakery, as long as there were fewer than 10 people, employees and customers in there, I could sit down, drink a cup of coffee in that shop, and supposedly then the owners of those establishments would need to turn people away until I left and then somebody could replace me.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a coffee drinker myself too, so yes, we could go to Coffee Zone and sit at that front window and enjoy our coffee while they had, you know, their two or three people working in the store. And if someone else came in and they wanted to sit in the back area and enjoy their coffee or their gyro, it would be just fine as long as there were still less than 10 people in the whole establishment and we were 6 feet away from each other.
Okay. So that raises a question for me, though. As part of your press release talking about the cessation of the order, you were talking about in a space, and so not all shops are necessarily cut the same. So, for instance, if we talk about, let's say, Downtown Book and Toy, a small store there versus the library, which is a much bigger book place, if you will, would the library be constrained even though to 10 people and 6 feet of space, just as Downtown Book and Toy would be?
I think the library actually falls under governmental operations, so they're more of an essential business. So for them, they would look at the square footage and apply that formula of, like, for the library, it says for larger locations, like 10,000 square feet or greater, they must maintain 10% or less of the authorized occupancy. So the retail establishment, 10 or less, 6 feet away, doesn't really apply to them because they are more of, they're an essential business because they fall under governmental operations.
Okay. So let's play what if. So what if the library, though, was a large bookstore versus Downtown Book and Toy? When it comes to a non-essential business, the square footage does not necessarily matter. It's still 10 people in that building, correct?
That is my interpretation of the governor's order. That is correct.
Okay. All right. So what are the next steps after the county has lifted this stay-at-home order? The state's order is set to expire May 3rd, as we've said. You've mentioned that positive cases could increase in the county after this stay-at-home order is lifted. What likely would happen for the county to have to reinstate a stay-at-home order or intercede in some other manner?
So we're going to be very anxious to see what plan the governor has for what happens after May 4th. Several other local public health agencies have drafted some plans because we know that things cannot just go back to what we were doing before. We have to slowly ease into this process of our new normal. So I have some ideas if, depending on what the governor's order for the next phase looks like, whether or not we will have to do anything specific for Cole County. So there still will be some restrictions on gatherings and business operations, I'm sure of it. The governor, you know, has said that his plan will be data-driven and will be very deliberate. So we're anxious for that. In the meantime, if we see an increase when we're in that first phase of recovery, we will continue to be very aggressive with our contact investigations, our contact tracing, and isolating and quarantining those sick individuals to try to keep it from spreading. You know, as we talked about before, the purpose of the stay-at-home order is not to eradicate the virus. We know that that is impossible. The purpose of the stay-at-home order is to slow down the spread and give the public health system and the healthcare system time to come up to speed and to be ready to deal with cases as they arise. And we've done that. Our healthcare system is wonderful here in Jeff City. They're prepared. We have testing capabilities. We, of course, don't want anyone to get the virus, but we want to be prepared if they do. So if we start to see an increase in cases, we're going to be aggressive and isolate these cases and try to prevent the spread. In the event that we have a big outbreak or an increase that we didn't anticipate of, like, community spread cases, we might have to stay in that first phase where the mass gatherings are limited and businesses are still limited. We might have to stay in that phase longer until we get a control on it before we can move into the next phase of recovery. I think there's going to be at least two phases to that recovery, and how fast we move from phase to phase will depend on how the community does.
Okay. One of the, circling back with you, one of the early parameters for going to the order was a number of pending cases or getting results back, and that has improved, I'm assuming, as far as the speed and the ability to do testing of more tests.
Correct. So there's not the long lines of people waiting to get testing. The testing results are coming back sooner. We're only waiting 24 to 48 hours at the most for a test. And just last week or earlier this week, we had about 20 to 30 pending tests versus that 200 that we had at the end of March.
Yeah. So looking back from your perspective as healthcare or health director, how has the local health community done? I mean, were they overwhelmed with capacity, you know, of treating patients or testing? Did we ever reach a spot where it was a critical concern?
In our communications with them, they are a participant in our Emergency Operations Center. They have been very, very collaborative to work with. They've been very forthcoming with talking about their personal protective equipment supply and testing. They were very proactive in getting those mobile test sites set up at both St. Mary's and at CAP Region. And I think the first day or so, those facilities were probably doing the testing as fast as they could because there was a backlog of people that wanted to get tested. Mm-hmm. So once that initial backlog got tested, they've been doing fine. All the reports that I've received from them is that they have not been overwhelmed with treating patients.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'd like to thank them. I know that there have been some people that have continued to visit non-essential businesses, but I know a lot of the community has been very compliant. Our cases have been very compliant, and we appreciate that. When they've been told to quarantine, they have done so, and we've been able to make those contacts and slow the spread. So we do appreciate that. And then all the partners in our Emergency Operations Center have been great to work with, and it really is a community effort. Our health department is a small staff, and we all wear many hats, and we would never be able to do the things that we've been doing without all of the partner agencies, including the media, helping us get the word out, educate people, and the other partner agencies to provide their responses that they have been providing. It's just wonderful.
All right. Well, Christy, as always, we thank you for your willingness to talk to us and answer our questions.
Thank you. Have a great day.
I want to share some of the ways that we're trying to cover the community's response to the COVID-19 threat. On our website, we've created some general announcement pages where cancellations and announcements from businesses and government are being listed. We're updating the site regularly through the day with information, both locally and regionally, as it comes into us. If you have a print subscription, I'd encourage you to activate your digital subscription so that you can stay up to date as we update our news report throughout the day. From a coverage standpoint, we've pulled all of our coronavirus stories from behind our paywall. We see that as a public service so that you can be engaged and make informed decisions for yourself and for your family. At times like this, information is vital to the public safety. To that end, our mission is to provide that information to you. For us, it's a 365-day mission. I'd encourage you to consider subscribing to the News Tribune to help us fulfill that mission. You're not only investing in your community newspaper, but in your community itself. As always, we do welcome your story ideas or questions. You can send them to news@newstribune.com. Be safe, be informed, and wash your hands.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.